The effects of stress on the body can be profound. We all know the work that has been done by Hans Selye several decades ago, many decades ago, looking at what it does to heighten the body's sympathetic response, which puts us in flight or flight state. And there are ways to deal with that that are very interesting that one of my colleagues, Mitch Corwin, has come up with. And I want to introduce Mitch to you. Mitch is a chiropractor who does applied kinesiology, but also does something called topic neural organization work, or NOW. He's been in practice about 25 years. He does some rather remarkable things with patients that really surprises me because it's so complementary with the style of work that I do as a medical doctor. And so it's been a chance for me to learn more about what he does in a discipline that's really very surprising. So, Mitch, it's great to have you here. Tell us something about what is topic neural organization work.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. Where'd you get that word topic from?
That's what you got here. You must have. What is it? What should it have been called?
Well, that's the topic.
Well, that's the topic of what it is. It's neural organization work. I wondered about that myself. So it's NOW for neural organization work.
Well, that's the theme of the work is to organize the nervous system. And when our nervous system is stressed, it's disorganized, and we make those kind of errors.
Uh-huh. Well, maybe that's what happened to me. I'm wondering that I don't know that much about this subject, and how am I going to present it in a way? So that's remarkable. So I'm under stress. You better give me some treatment.
Yep. We could all use a neurological tune-up, and that's what neural organization work is about. It's actually originally named a neural organization technique developed by a colleague of mine in the East Coast in New York, Dr. Carl Ferreri, a really brilliant chiropractor, well-trained in applied kinesiology, well-trained in acupuncture, well-trained in magnetic healing. From years ago. I think he was the 241st practitioner in California and in New York.
Wow.
So he goes back a long way.
So we're really into energy medicine here. Is that what you're saying?
Well, this is a blending of traditional applied kinesiology with energy medicine. And as soon as you blend something,
it's a new field.
You have no home.
I'm
an applied kinesiologist, but I'm also an energy practitioner.
Well, tell us first, before we get into that, what is applied kinesiology for those that don't know?
Applied kinesiology is really an eclectic blending of a lot of different Eastern and Western medicine.
Okay.
And it uses a very fascinating tool called muscle testing as a neurological assessment tool.
Okay.
So basically, you got a biofeedback tool to access the central nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, you can measure stress and its effect on the central nervous system, on the body, on the physiology, on the muscles.
Just by the muscle tension that's in it?
Well, it's a complex neurological loop, but essentially, you could think of it as muscle testing. If we have 100% of energy in the body,
mm-hmm.
and you touch or I touch any place on your body that causes and it draws attention to that, it causes a net drain in the circuit,
mm-hmm.
and the end result will be a weakness or a demonstration of a weakness in the ability of the muscle to maintain that energy, measuring that energy.
Okay.
And so you see this relative weakness that
returns.
We call that a weak muscle or a defacilitated muscle.
Okay, so that's applied kinesiology. Now, how does that fit in with the energy technology that you're doing?
Well, we take it a step further and we look at how does stress affect our nervous system?
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
Okay.
And we realize that our body has to deal with internal and external environmental stressors through our survival system. It's common not only to humans, but to all animals, and that is the survival systems of fight-flight, feeding, and reproduction.
Okay.
And fight-flight is the ability to stand, walk, move against gravity. Feeding is assimilation of foods from the external environment. Reproduction is basically our endocrine or hormonal system. And then there's another one, which is an internal environment, the immune system.
Okay.
So everything that happens to us must go through one or more of those systems. So my work is basically, let's deal with those three survival systems up front. Let's get them back in working operational order,
mm-hmm.
and all three depend upon each other. They're all interacting, and if one system is on, the others are basically taking a back seat. So if you're running down the block or someone's chasing you, you're fighting, you're not thinking about reproduction and digestion.
Got that right. Just getting the hell out of there. That's right. Okay.
And really, what was a major discovery in in neural organization technique in involving the fight-flight system is that there's basically an intact nervous system and one with a little software glitch in it. We call that software glitch a vestibular ocular problem.
Okay.
Vestibular stands for the inner ear, ocular for the eyes, not eye for visual acuity, but eyes more for tracking and movement or being able to track the horizon.
Okay, and how does that fit into this system and why is that important?
If about 70% of the population has a vestibular ocular problem.
Wow.
So we're well compensated for it, but when you have a vestibular ocular problem, you have a little bit of a balance problem because the inner ear and the eye tracking allows you to move and stand when the ground's moving. It allows you to walk and run. And now if there's a little glitch in that, what happens is the body loses its neutral or home base position. So people with a vestibular ocular problem, they're actually not standing. They're in the middle of a gait step. And if they're in the middle of a gait step, then that's going to impact on their it keeps the body in that fight-flight mode a little bit. It reduces their efficiency. The muscles are not relaxed all the way. And you'll see that as a reoccurrence of a lot of musculoskeletal problems. But one big thing is the predisposing factor for scoliosis. And that's a foundational principle in this work.
So you merge it with your chiropractic.
Well, yes, but chiropractic looks at, as well as allopathic medicine, that scoliosis is a spinal problem.
Hmm.
And in this work, in neural organization work, we do not look at it as a spinal problem. Everything is a compensation. I mean, that's how we survive. And I don't believe that we were designed with a flaw that allows us to develop scoliosis, so it's got to be a compensatory state. And that compensation is basically to compensate for this glitch in our vestibular ocular system in this gait position.
So you try and restore that back to normal, and that has effect on people in some way that's more profound?
Well, it'll make your job a lot easier if you got scoliosis and you're in the middle of a gait or step position, meaning you're standing but one leg is forward. Or if you were to watch somebody walk that has scoliosis or run, and you took a tape measure and you watched their footprints in the ground or in the sand, you'd see one side would be much longer than the other.
Wow.
And if you're in the middle of a step position, it's just you're working hard. You're not using your muscles efficiently.
So that's when the tiger might catch you if you're in the fight or flight, huh?
You want to see a population of people that does not have the vestibular ocular problem. Look at your high-end athletes, your fighter pilots, somebody that needs those reflexes intact.
Right. So you use some kind of this neural organizational work to restore these people to a more normal state.
Yes.
So they can begin to function and
we do it in a very different way because this is aberrant neurological activity. So there's input, process, output. Output, of course, is the muscular activity. Processing is the brain gathering, information and making the right decisions. So all that's left is input. And that's what this work is about, looking at the input devices. Input devices, well, that would be the mechanoreceptors, the little sensors in our body, in our muscles, and our tendons that are feeding back information to the brain. And we believe these individuals, these sensors have just lost their calibration from physical trauma, etc. And you go back and reset those sensors, recalibrate them. Now you're getting the right information back into the brain for it to process, and you got the correct output.
How complicated is it to do this?
It is actually extremely simple to do. It just requires being a software engineer.
What do you mean?
You got to know what you're doing.
Okay.
And you got to be able to apply those corrections in the right sequence.
Mm-hmm.
So sequencing is extremely important in this work. But the actual application is using some basic applied kinesiology principles that even most of your acupressure people know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually all skin surface reflexes.
What are the kinds of people that you do the best work with who have these problems?
Well, for the scoliosis, I consider working with teenagers, with children around age 10, 9, 10, 11, 12, puberty.
Mm-hmm.
That is the most critical patient that comes in my office. When somebody comes in at that age and they have scoliosis, the quicker we get to that and correct that and neutralize the condition, the neurology behind the scoliosis, so they do not continue to grow into this deformity, that's critical.
What will it do for them? How will it help them? How will it change their lives?
It will stop the development, the continuation of scoliosis right in its tracks. it will not allow the neurology to continue to pull the muscles down to continue bending the spine. It'll correct the gait, get the person right back in their neutral gait, and essentially stop the condition of scoliosis.
So physically it'll have a lot of impact. Does it have any emotional impact or value, or does it do anything to prevent other diseases?
Well, emotionally, to know that you're not going to continue to bend up and be crippled and, as you get older.
Okay.
And even with somebody who's, like, say, 20s, 30s, and 40s, and they have scoliosis, we could stop the condition from getting any worse. Now, you haven't asked me a big question. Can you reverse it?
Okay. That was next. So, how can you? Well, I'm assuming you can, but most doctors don't think you can. They think
if you're looking at scoliosis, a bending of the spine, a distortion, a lateral deviation of the spine, well, unfortunately, it's like a piece of wood that you left out in the rain. It gets warped.
Okay.
Once it's warped, you're never going to straighten it out.
Okay.
So, if you're looking at scoliosis as a spinal problem, do I straighten out the spine? No. Do I correct the neurology behind it? Yes. Will I prevent the spine from deteriorating and getting worse? Yes.
So you'll save them from a lot of problems that are related to disc disease and pain and disability that's associated with it.
Down the road, yes.
Well, that's sort of like a big deal.
Yeah.
So how many treatments does it take to treat somebody with this?
It takes about a good hour and 15 minutes to go through the entire protocol.
And how many treatments do they have to really get back on the right track?
For child, that's one visit.
One visit?
One visit.
That's really
why it's such a high priority for me. Because all it requires is going through and resetting recalibrating those sensors in the body, getting the body back in neutral. Then you have an access to address the nervous system and the reactive muscles of scoliosis, clear it out, and you're done. And it's a very low recidivism.
When you see these people, say years later, or the parents get back to you, what kinds of comments do you hear?
They're doing fine, thank you very much, and they're moving on with the rest of their life.
Okay. So neural organizational work is something that only a few people know about, and Dr. Mitchell Corwin is one of them. Well, thank you a lot for being with us today, Mitch, to share what that discipline is about, and let people know that you have an office in Berkeley, and you also have an office at the Health Medicine Institute, where we practice together. And if you want to reach Dr. Corwin, you can reach him at 925-962-3799. That's 925-962-3799. Or at his website at lastchancegarage.org. I think it's such a neat website title. Anyway, thanks for joining us, Mitch.
Thank you.